So today we're talking about, what's the topic of today's sermon? Saved and what? Saved and healed. Ah, we gave it last Sunday. And next Sunday we're going to preach on, He teacheth my hand to walk. Last Sunday, He teacheth my hand what? To walk. To walk. But today, saved and healed. Let's say it together. Let's say it louder. And healed. So we do know that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father. Are you hearing me well now? Okay, I have to hold this thing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had done what? Who had what? Done what? Blessed us. Who had done what? Blessed us. Is it past tense? Is it present tense? Is it future tense? What tense is it? Blessed. Blessed. Tell your neighbor, He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, like we're saying on Thursday, it is important that you as a Christian must on purpose, for the sake of your life, that you must listen to discern the word of God accurately. Rightly dividing this word. Because if it is wrongly divided, it will profit you nothing. It's not the word of God. And then the scripture says, let he that has ear to hear what? Because some people don't have ears. They don't want to hear. You must develop ear to hear what the Spirit of God is telling us through the scripture. And every time we read the scripture, please give attention to these things. God says, my son, attend to my word. Don't play with these things. We need them so desperately because dangers arise. So he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, how many? All, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but they are where? In Christ. And so when we talk of blessings, have you ever asked yourself, what is blessing really? What, somebody say, what do you mean by blessing? You know, I found out that the world doesn't have definition of blessing. I checked the dictionary to find out what the world thinks blessing is. They said, blessing is an act or word of the blessing. They don't know what to say about it. Because it's not a language in the world. It's not a prominent language in the world. Have you ever noticed that? It's a language that exists mainly in the church. So they said, blessing is an act or word of the blessing. Because they don't know what it is. They may have another definition of blessing in other dictionaries, but I checked Webster, which I think is one of the best. And if you go there, they were talking about what blessing means in the Bible. In the Bible, which means in the world. They don't have that. It's not common. They might use it, but it's not what you hear regularly among those who don't know. So it's kind of a word that really belongs to the body of Christ. So what is blessing? If I ask us, I am blessed. So what is it? What is it? Favor? The word? What is blessing? If somebody asks you, say, bro, you're a Christian here. What do you mean by blessing? Gift? I say, what gift? Jesus is blessing. Yeah? What is also blessing? Huh? Eternal life is blessing. Now, you know we're right. But for the purpose of our discussion, we just want to bring it into a simple word that bunches it together, but not the details now, so that at least we have a sense of what blessing is. So blessing is something that brings you, that pertains to your well-being, your welfare, and your happiness. Spiritually, financially, what again? Emotionally, physically, and what again? I've said spiritually, I've said emotionally, I've said how can you forget financially? Financially, and other things. They pertain to your well-being, your welfare, and happiness from God's point of view. That's my own definition. If you quote this anywhere, they say, who said that? Our pastor told us. Because I couldn't find really any. So I decided to knock words together, that the things I picked from here and there. I said, yeah, this was what it looks like. From God's what? Point of view. Because there are people who derive happiness in doing evil. Their happiness is being in the club. That's not the happiness we're talking about. It is from God's what? Point of view. What God considers happiness. What God considers well-being. What God considers for your welfare. But it has to bring wealth, touches your welfare, your well-being, financially, spiritually, emotionally, and other things. So that's what I think is blessing. I believe is blessing. And so, if you read the Bible, you find where God told Abraham, he said, I will make your name what? Great. Concerns is welfare. Concerns is happiness. Concerns is well-being. Generally, from God's point of view, he said, I will multiply you. You don't have a child, but I'll multiply you. My wife and I have been through barrenness, so we know what it means. If you haven't been through these things, you won't understand the pain of barrenness. It's one of the toughest temptations a couple will face, especially for the woman. I don't forget when we go to the village, they will come and rob my wife. They have the audacity to be touching her and say, are you still like this? Say, don't let this one yam we have break. You know the one yam? Me. Say, don't this one yam we have, don't let it what? Break. Because you do have another, there's no other yam. And I told my wife, I said, we're not going to the village again. I won't stand anybody embarrassing you. Men, you should protect your wives. Can I hear amen? Every Christian husband has the duty to protect who? His wife. Don't let people mess your wife up. Don't let that happen. You should rise up and be counted. Say, that's my wife. You don't treat my wife what? Like that. I don't care who you are. That's why we're Christians. We must be different. We must be different. I told her, I said, no more. No, rub your stomach. Where did they get the authority? No more. So we've been there. So painful. It's challenging. So when God said to Abraham, now I will multiply you. Can you imagine the happiness it brought them? My prayer is that if you're also seeking for a child here, God will multiply you too. So, and then he said, in blessing, I bless you, increase you in cattle, so it's something that dealt with Abraham's welfare. He became richer financially, became richer in relationship with God. So that's what we're talking about. So if God says, I have blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, then God has given you all things that pertain to your welfare, to your what again? Well-being, and what again? Happiness. All of them, he packaged it in Christ Jesus. All things that pertain to godliness, to life, and godliness. So that in your life, your welfare is taken care of, your well-being is taken care of, your happiness is also what? Taken care of from God's point of view. The things you need to live fully, divine purpose for godliness and for life. All of it has been provided. Not one miss. Amen? I said amen. So, and again, let us not forget when we talk of blessing that God also took care of the causes. It's not only that God blessed us, but the God dissolved the curse so that you can't come under a curse to steal your blessing. You cannot. Because it's not only that we are blessed, but the curse was also what? Dissolved. Not just removed. It was completely what? Dissolved. Can you say with me, the curse has been dissolved? Say it louder, come on. It cannot recover. It's impossible. It is, don't search for it. It's nowhere to be found. We need to understand that what God did with Pharaoh was a demonstration of what God will do with the devil, with sin, with all these things. He said, these Egyptians, you will see them what? No. Curse is gone for a Christian. Permanently gone. Even the Old Testament people knew this. They hired a prophet to curse the children of Israel. Are you still hearing me? The prophet said to them, I cannot curse them. He said, you can't curse whom God has. He said, these people permanently out of reach. You can't. So it's no more going to happen. And this Old Testament. I mean, talking of people, Old Testament people. This man said, you can't curse these people. He said, why? Because God has already blessed them. He told them, he said, I can't. It's not possible. So they gave him money. Did everybody say, no, it's not possible. Now, come to the New Testament. Curse is dissolved. Totally. What? It doesn't exist no more. For you. Totally gone. And cannot be recovered. Have you ever, I don't know how many of you have washing machine, because I know some people are still washing with their hand. Especially the women. I wonder why they still wash with their hand and soap. You know, they use not soap, raw soap. I said, throw the thing into the washing machine and get it. But they keep using bar soap. Mommy said this exercise. See, when you wash your clothes clean, you throw away the death. If you go looking for the death, something is wrong. Because it doesn't, the cause does not exist. I don't know how to make this clearer for you. The cause for the Christian, simply, what? Jesus absorbed it on himself. He took it on himself. And once he took it, it's gone. Whatever. I don't know how to convince you, but that's what your Bible said. I didn't say so. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit. He became a curse. He took the curse on himself. I like the message. The message said he dissolved it in himself. The mystery of Jesus. The mystery of the cross. I keep saying it, except the Holy Spirit revealed the cross to mankind, none of us would have known what happened there. Would have just seen a man hung there, died there. Nobody would have known what was taking place there. Except the Holy Spirit came and said, you know, when he died, you died. How would you have known that? Nobody would have been saved because we do know that he died for our sin. We do nothing. Would have said, oh, he died, he rose, that's all. But the curse was dissolved right there. Not only that God had blessed us again, every curse that would have come to interfere in your blessing has been what? Taken out. Can somebody shout hallelujah? You should feel excited. I remember somebody told me, he said, I'll curse you. I said, don't try. I said, don't what? Try. I said, because you see, for us, you can't curse whom God has. You are late. I received all blessings in heaven. And the curse that will touch me, Jesus absorbed it. Case is over. God asked a question. He said, who is it that speaks and it comes to pass except the Lord has what? Commanded. How can God bless me and approve your cause? It won't work. You're wasting your time. You see, the Bible called it a vain word. It won't touch me. Nothing. No weapon formed against me. Whether by word, by anything. Why? I'm under protection. The reason people get into this thing is because the devil comes to tell them, you know your cause. And they believe the testimony of Satan. And Satan promised them. That's what happens. So, and again, the devil that causes trouble has been dealt with. Church, can I hear amen? Not only has God blessed you, he took away the curse and brought the devil and made a public show of him, showing you, say, look at him. He's been dealt with permanently. It's out of the equation. Totally out of the equation. The devil doesn't count. What did I say? The devil does not count. His power has been taken from him. Everything he trusted in he's been disarmed permanently. He's a toothless, powerless Buddha. Do you know that the most fearful spirit is the devil? Church, I'm telling you, why shouldn't you know this thing? Why is the devil blocking this from us? The devil is the most fearful spirit there is. He said, how do you know? Because your Bible tells you that. The Bible says, you believe in God. It says, the devil also what? Believes. And why is he trembling? Is it not fear? Why is he fearful? He said, he knows there is also God Almighty, and he's trembling. He's a fearful spirit. Extremely fearful. Because you understand where his situation is and that he's going to be thrown into the lake. That's why he said it. Praise the Lord. Some of you think this is not true. But your Bible says so. This is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to believe. I don't want to believe the junk that all these false prophets are giving you. So they create ministry for themselves and say, come now, I'm your deliverer. Exactly what Jesus said. He said, they will come in my name, saying, I'm now your deliverer. I'm the person. He said, they make merchandise of. Is it not happening today? So, everything that will bring us issues, God has taken care of it. All of it. All of it. All of it, 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 church! Luke chapter 1, 71. Luke chapter 1, verse 71. Can we go up and start from verse... If I have it upstairs, can you go up and let's start from 69? So we'll connect it very well. 69. And had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant who is this horn of salvation? Jesus. So he's talking about Jesus. Then the next verse, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophet, which have been since the world began. Verse 71. What did he say? That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of how many? Church, come on. How many? All. He said, Pastor, he's a native doctor. He's part of all. He said, Pastor, in the night I dreamt, I saw a snake. He's part of all. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I saw a masquerade. My friend, he's part of all. Can I hear amen? He said, Pastor, the masquerade has two horns. He's part of all. Five horns, 20 horns, five fingers. He's like this. He's like this. All. You know, the way God trained me is that I saw these things myself. What God taught me in the Bible, he showed me to see physically. I saw demons in visions. I saw demons. And I realized that this scripture is true. Different manifestations of demonic spirit. God has given me privilege to see them. And see how powerless they are. Extremely fearful. Very, very what? Fearful. One time I was sleeping, and all of a sudden, this thing stood in my bedroom, pretending, wearing white. You know, the Bible says they would look like angel of light. So it was wearing white. But I knew it was demonic spirit because it was hiding the face from me. I was looking at it, it was hiding. Then it started disappearing into thin air. Just going in gradually. And finally, you know what I said to you? I said, whether you disappear or not, I'm sleeping. Because you can't take my sleep from me. Number two is that you are powerless as far as I'm concerned. Number three is that we reign on earth. I'm here, we are in charge. You are not in charge. Your power has been taken from you. You are under my what? Feet. So while you are bothering yourself, disappearing and appearing, I am serious, I'm busy sleeping, and having a good time with the Lord Jesus. And I say again, do you know the greater one is here? And I slept. I didn't pray about it. It was not necessary. It was unimportant. Because he came to distract my sleep. I refused to give him the privilege. And I slept like a baby. I'm, ladies and gentlemen, I'm still here. I'm still here now. I'm still here. One prophet came one time, Kaduna. He said, you are traveling. He said, you are going to have accident. I said, you are the one to have the accident. Brethren, I lie not. He had an accident that very day. I told him, I said, you are the one. I said, I don't receive this thing because it's not from God. It is you and your bosses. You. That very day in Kaduna, he had an accident. That very day, not another day. If I had gone to him, I said, yeah, I said, then I will have. Say, no. I disallow this. It is disallowed for me. Church, you should rise up and understand how to live a Christian life. Amen? I said amen. Amen. So, from all, how many? All. I want to hear you shout it. All. Convince yourself. All. All that hate us. Verse 72. To perform the mercy. You see, it's all mercy. Promise to our fathers. And to remember his holy covenant. That the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. That he will grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might now serve him. How? So the one that I saw disappearing, I said, no, you can't make me afraid because I'm supposed to serve him without fear. Do you think that God will give us false hope, false confidence? When he knows there is danger, he will tell you, you don't have to fear anything. When he knows there's trouble, no. He has taken care of all of it. And say, you cannot serve me what? I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Come on, I didn't hear you. Church, I didn't still hear you. And then there was this brother called Paul. You read it. It was a snake, dangerous one, that bit him. And they were watching whether he will die. And Paul started to pray. Paul started to pray. He said, brethren, let's hold hands. Oh, this is the devil. I bind you, this snake. I rebuke you. Paul started to pray. What did he do? Why did he ignore it? Why? Yes. He said, I know in whom. He said, none of these things. So unimportant. Very unimportant. I don't know why we ascribe to Satan so much glory. Where did he get it? The Bible says it's under our feet. He's zero. He's what? Now somebody said, hey, Pastor, don't let the devil hear. I want it to hear. He's zero. If you know why he's telling him, I say so. He's zero. He is what? Powerless. Powerless. In fact, Wigglesworth told the story how the devil appeared in his room or something. And he saw, he said, oh, it's only you, nothing. You are nothing. So I don't have time for it. You know, that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. He said, we don't have time, what? To discuss this, what? Issue with you. We are too busy serving Jesus. He said, if you throw us into the fire, let's go. Our God is what? To deliver. But even if he chooses not to, we don't have time to talk to you. We can't hold conference with you. What are we talking to a liar for? Church, learn something. Learn something. Learn something. you are always stronger than the devil. Because the greater one is what? Make Jesus proud. Lift him high. And say, Lord, I believe in you for real. This is not church talk. This is for real. Now the rubber has met what? The tire. I want to show you that you are Lord over everything. And so I will fear no evil. David said, he said, even if I walk what? Even if I walk what? I shall fear all evil. I shall what? Why? Because why do we waste our time talking about Satan? It's a tragedy because we listen to all manner of junk and enter into all manner of stupid, useless prayer things by phone. One sister said they prayed in the phone to give her one prophecy, her life turned around. The light went off. Fear came. I said, pray some more. Don't even bother my life. They went to my sister in London. I said, Uche, because she will hear this. Say, Uche, say, there's this card. Say, the man prays. It's powerful. He has anointing. He said, if you can, let him pray for you. But give us some money so that he can use the money to fast. So my sister said to the priest, he said, come in, I want to talk to you. He said, tell me what is wrong between me and God that I can't talk to God. He said, tell me, did God tell you that he doesn't talk with me? He said, what is wrong with my own knee? He said, I'm not lazy. I too can talk to God. And if you don't get out from my house now, I get the cops after you. He said, this is what you people do in this London, spreading all manner of nonsense and making people afraid. He said, I don't need this prayer. If I need to pray, I kneel down and talk to my Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy. If you know my sister, I behave like me. I say, Uche, you did that. I say, brother, I did it. I kicked them out. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So God has given us everything to live a life without fear. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's taken the curse and dissolved it. And delivered us from the hand of the devil and told us you don't have anything to fear anymore. You cannot serve me without fear all the days of your life. He brought us to glory. He brought us to what? Glory. He brought us to glory. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:14. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can share in the glory. Now you can share in the glory of who? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been blessed with all available blessings. Ephesians 2 from verse 1. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works, which God has before what? Ordained that we should walk in them. Please look at that verse again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk. It's not work. It's not R, it's R. W-O, they're afraid now to pronounce it. They're afraid. They're very afraid. This side, they didn't go to school. W-O, Umuchu. He said R. It's not R, it's R. Even Amelie, broke off from Amelie. Amelie, now, but R. It's not R, it's R. He didn't say you should work for it. He should say you should walk in them. It makes a huge difference. Because we don't take time to know the word that the Holy Spirit uses. We think he said walk for it. And we start walking for it. No. He said you should come and walk in them. You've been created to be able to walk in them. God has made you a new creature, so you can now walk in these things. He called them good works that God himself prepared. God himself what? Prepared. Do you know what David said? He prepared what? A temple. That's what David was talking about. God has prepared good works. David called it a prepared a table of blessings. Buffet of what? Blessings. Good works. The works he did. Like if you go to your kitchen and cook, make beans, make plantain, make a farina, make a this. It is you preparing those good things. Then you make soup, snail soup, I make okra soup, I make what other type of soup? Granite soup. You are the one preparing those what? Good things. Now you bring them out and invite human beings to come. Human beings have been created to be able to participate in. If you bring dogs and say to dogs, these are prepared. Before you finish it, they pounce on the whole thing and scatter it. Because the way their nature is, they don't know decency, so they eat it like dogs. Brethren, I don't know. I don't care the breed of dog you have. It's a dog. In front of our church, 170. One dog owner, his dog saw another dog and wanted to fight so badly, he pulled the owner down. Nobody could stop him. And those dogs were fighting. These owners and these owners could not stop them. I stood at our gate. I said, they are still dogs, no matter what. Doggy is what? Doggy. If you like, call him Hannah. Call him Sweetie, honey. He's a dog. They are not created to be able to participate like that. But God said, you've been created in Christ. You now have the nature, the ability to understand, so that you can come and walk what? In these things. In these things. In these things. In Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me. You see? He said the good works that God has prepared. Now David called it a table. He prepared a table. It prepared a table. Obadiah called it possessions. He said, upon Mount Zion, the sons of Jacob will possess their what? Possessions. Something that have been prepared for them is their possession, but they have to still go and possess them. I will tell you what Paul called it. Paul gave it a very wonderful name. Paul called it the riches of Christ. For you Gentiles. He said, God has sent me to show you those riches, those good things God has cooked and prepared for you to come and walk in. And then the Holy Spirit called it blessings. In another place, he called it inheritance. All of them referring to what God has prepared for us to come and walk in them. Amen. So, if I'm supposed to walk in them, if I can you come a minute? If I'm supposed to walk, this is key, please. If I'm supposed to walk in them, if I can you walk, turn around, and walk in this path that is in front of you. Just keep walking. No, here. Straight. Keep walking. Can you stop? What did he just do? He walked. Right? And there's a path. He walked. So as he was walking, do you know you are here? Okay, fine, you come around. Okay, as you're walking to me, look here. Be coming and look this direction and be coming. And be coming. And be coming. Be coming. Be coming. Be coming. You know, he didn't see me. Why? He's no more walking by faith. He's walking by sight. So if you are, thank you, my brother. If you are driving, and you want to walk by sight, you have accident. To walk in these things is to walk by faith. That's what it is. If you walk by sight, you will see them. Because if you want to walk by physical eyes, They are not revealed to your physical senses. You can see them. But if you walk by faith, you see them as realities. That's why the Bible says, do not walk by sight, but walk by faith. So if you want to walk in the realities of these good works, all of them, the just lives his life by faith. So you must walk and fix your spiritual eye on the direction. Thy word is lamp unto my feet and light that lightens the path I have to walk. Thy word, not what happens around here, not what happens here, not the records of men, is the record of God, is the testimony of God, that is thy word that lightens my path, shows me to follow this path. This is what God says. So I, by faith, I believe what God says continuously, and I begin to experience them. It's as simple as ABCD. It's a work already finished. It's your possession. Your possession. Your what? Possession. It's called your possession because it's already made your own. That's why God said to Oyedepo, it does not respond to fasting. Because it is already your possession. You don't fast to make it yours. It has already been given to you in Christ. See, it doesn't respond to the works of men. And it's true. Because it was given to us in Christ. Already made available. So, my possession. Doc, can you come? Sorry, sir. Welcome from Nigeria. I hope you came with Onubu. Okay. This is my what? Which Doc gave me. He brought it from Nigeria for me. And now, if he's talking to our brother, he will tell him, this is pastor's coat. Right? Come on, church. What do I do to get it? Nothing. Because he decided when he traveled to buy me this winter coat in Lagos. It was his own decision. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians, it was God's own pleasure to give us this thing. Nobody gave him the counsel. So you can't come and say, let me now, and Doc is watching me, and he said, Pastor, do you know that the Doc bought you a coat? I say, okay. I'm going to devote 3 days fasting to get it. He said, no, it's already. I say, no. Bro, I need to do 4 days. He said, no, it's free. I said, how can it be free? Because I don't give free myself. The heart of man is what? Wicked and desperately wicked. And I am preaching that type of lifestyle. So now God says, no, I'm not like you. I give free. He said, no, it doesn't make sense to me. And because it doesn't make sense to me, I want to take God and put in my mold because of pride. I want to take God Almighty and put him in my own mode of thinking so that I'll be comfortable in my wickedness. Because if I ever agree and believe that God is this loving and caring, it challenges my wickedness. And my conscience pummels me. But because of the pride of man, I want to force God to be like me in my mind. And I will not agree to his grace. Because I know my heart is desperately what? Wicked. In it are the list of people who did things to me that I'm not prepared to forgive. If I ever agree to his mercy and grace for me, my conscience shatters me. So what do? Say, no, God is not like that. So I will find a way to twist the scripture to put God in my own mode of thinking. So I can be comfortable. That's what we do. That's what we do. Because you know how you come and tell Doc, you know how you come and say, sister, I want to buy this one. You, I will pay you. You know you don't want to pay. I'll be talking to all of you until you go and pay those people you are owing. Because I'm your pastor. It's my duty. Nobody will tell you I will. Say, yeah. And then tomorrow you come again. Say, this one came new from Abuja. Give me, I will pay. You haven't paid the other one. You know why? The heart of man is what? Deceitful. Deceitful. Very, very deceitful. Extremely deceitful. I will carry that deceit in dealing with God. You know that you just don't care about God too much. We want to give God reasons why you are late, you don't go to church, you don't come to Bible study. All those things is human deceit. The Bible says if you are not a doer of the word, you are deceiving what? Yourself. Nobody can deceive God. At the end of the day, you pay price for all that deceit. You are the one. You are the one. Nobody else. One day your cup will be full. And nobody knows the day that cup what? You know, all of us, hey, I saw him yesterday. I didn't know. Shut up. You don't know anything. Keep your mouth shut. So these are our possessions that God has given us in Christ. So the key thing, though, a couple of things I want to mention. Am I still communicating to you? If you bought cloth, go and pay now. What's wrong with that? So we can move on. This is 2000 and I'm your pastor. I'm your spiritual father. So I should scold you. Tell you what is right to save yourself from satanic trap. Go and pay, my friend. Make sure you pay. As soon as they pay you, that's number one thing you are doing. And come and tell me, Pastor, I paid. If you don't have the courage to tell me, don't worry. Tell God I paid. Amen? Is it not Shambach that was praying for somebody who was sick? And then he started to pray. A picture of 5,000 came before him. He said to the man, what is this 5,000? He said, there's a man I'm owing 5,000. He said, go and pay the man. He said, you don't need prayer. Write the check and send. He went home, wrote the check, and got, wrote it and got healed. I'm telling you the truth. Wrote the check and got healed. Because God has given him long rope, and God knows this thing, the devil will use it to destroy my child. I have to bring it up and get him solve it so that he escapes the trap of the devil. Because what will make happen to somebody? A devil is setting you up for the thing to happen to you. So though we need to... Am I communicating? This place is too quiet for me. It looks like I'm in your backyard today. Let's do it there a little bit. Because it will help us a lot. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. There's a brother here. You don't treat your wife well. You don't. And I'm begging you to stop. Because you are coming to the end of the rope. You don't. You abuse your wife. With your mouth, with your behavior. You abuse your wife. You are sitting here. You must go home today if you love your life. And call that woman and apologize to her. You must. You are coming to the end of the rope. God has given you long. That rope remains. The sorrow of that woman has gone up. So the... Lord, I can't even preach. This job. This possessing our possessions. The key thing is about it, though, it's not our works. It's what? It's not our works. It is the works that God has already finished. And so, we must know that it's already there because they're your possessions. Thirdly, they are fully already provided. Fourthly, all we need to do is identify and know them and know our possessions. We must know them. We must identify them. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. They will show us things that are freely what? Given to us. So we know them. And we must understand them. We must make effort to identify them. We must know them. Eternal life is given. We must know these things. We must know these things. It's important because if you don't, you won't possess your possessions. You don't even know their possessions. I will be struggling in religion, trying to achieve, because you're a Christian. You're struggling in religion, trying to achieve something that God has already achieved for you. I was talking with somebody recently. He said to me, Pastor, I find it difficult to forgive. He said, something that people did to me. I said, you are so sincere, and I'm happy you couldn't forgive. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, that bears me out, everything I've been teaching. I said, am I glad or what? I said, I'm happy. I said, now that you can't, can I show you how it is done? I said, enter into your Israel. Hand him over that labor. He will bring it to pass. You wake up one morning, you want to hug all of them. No effort, nothing. That will be genuine for you. His love will take over your life. I say, you are trying to do something without Christ. And without him, you can do. I said, I'm glad you can't. I said, whoa, awesome. I said, the same thing with me too. I can't. And knowing that I can't, I stopped laboring. And I enter his rest. I said, Lord, this life in me, this love in me, this forgiveness in me, I trust you to walk it. What? I say, you'll be so shocked how you can wake up one morning. All you want to do is to go and hug. And if you see them genuinely, it's not a struggle. You really want to hug. I said, it's only God's love that can forgive. Human love does not forgive. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. So we need to identify them, and then we begin to walk in them in faith as the Spirit of God reveals them to us. So if we don't believe them, we won't have them. Hebrews 4:1. If we don't believe them, we won't have them. If we don't identify them, we won't have them. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. If you don't mix this thing with faith, it won't profit you. It won't profit you. I mean, it's just as simple as that. You can fast all you want to. If you don't mix it with faith, the Holy Spirit said it will not what? Profit you. It will not profit you. So you need to really walk in those things by faith. Possess them as your own. Identify them as your own. And say so. Let me show you some things that faith does. One of the things that faith does is that faith says so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Your testimony changes. You now speak according to what your position is, not according to what your sight says. Sight gives evil report. Faith gives good report. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And then when the people went to survey the land that God gave them, they said, that land is full of giants. It's full of what again? Anax. And he said, the land swallows people. And the Bible called it evil report. They were walking by sight. But Joshua and Caleb walked by what God said to them. Say, we are able. Because God is with us. Faith will always give what? A good report in the midst of surrounding evil. Because the word of God is yea and amen. Faith will describe the position. And faith works, has works. So if you say you believe that this is yours, you act like it's yours now. You can't say this is yours, and then you don't act like so. Then the faith is dead. If you believe something is yours, you act like it's so. Faith speaks. Faith works. Faith resists. Because by faith, you put up your shield and said, I do not allow this in my life. What insoever you do not what? Allow is disallowed. Faith says, no. It's not my possession. I'm not taking it. So we must understand that. But now, let me even narrow it down to this, the other thing I wanted to talk about. That healing is part of our possession. What did I say? I want us to say it louder. But we have to believe it. John 11:40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? You will believe, you see the healing. If you believe, you see the glory of God. You see the glorious work God has done manifesting for you. If you will believe, if you will believe. Did I not say to you, did I not say to you that if you will only do what? Believe, then you will see the manifestation." Mark 8:14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. He said, this is what Isaiah said, that Jesus came to remove sickness from us. That this thing we saw, it's a confirmation that he's the one that came to heal us. That Isaiah said so. That the one is our doctor that God sent to heal us, to take away our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. And then on the cross, it was fully provided. On the cross, it was what? Fully provided. Can I hear amen? Am I communicating to you? Because you see, my brother, it was fully provided. So, you know what we are going to do today? Go and take it. Because there's a woman that woke up one morning and says, I'm going to take my healing from Jesus. She didn't hear any Pastor Chinedu. She didn't come to any church. She just woke up in her house and said, I'm going to go to Jesus. And all I'm going to do is touch the hem of his garment. But you don't need to touch any more hem. Because Jesus is joined to you. You don't need him. He lives in you. What do you need him for? Where does Jesus live? Oh, you're not sure. Where does Jesus live? Unto the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is it not the Spirit of Christ? He said, I will live in you, walk in you. And the Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Which means you are joined. You are joined. Come, you keep using him. You are not sick, so I will use you sometimes. Turn around, and you are my brother too. Turn around. Joined, he that is joined to the Lord, he that is what? Joined. Are you joined? Are you joined? Are you joined? The power, the Bible said that the power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. And that power gives life to your mortal bodies, all of it. So if you are joined to him, and the life of Jesus flows through you, what do you need him for? I have touched the hem of his. No, I don't need the hem. He lives in me. And we're joined together. His life flows through me. That's why you and I can lay hands on the sick, because the power of Jesus flows through your hand, touches the sick. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Healing is the children's bread. David said he prepared the table. Jesus said, yeah, on that table is bread. And the bread part of it is what? Healing. He prepared the table. Prepared the table. And the Paul said, good works prepared. Jesus says, sure, bread is there. He says, it is your bread. Go to the table and eat. But you won't go here waiting for a man of God. Let me tell you about the anointing of God. Nobody controls it. Nobody. It's not a switch. Once you see a man who says, I can switch the anointing, run for their life. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this thing works as the Spirit wills, not as men will, as the Spirit, because men don't control God. Don't control God at all. And you may live all your lifetime and see that kind of thing work for you only two or three times. Because God's plan for us that works 24/7 is that the just shall live by his faith. So bread is there. There's bread. And it's buffet. Anybody ready to eat? Come on, anybody ready to eat? I'm asking you a simple question. Anybody ready? Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 1. Who has believed our report? So that to whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in the dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. They beat him to pulp. Verse 3. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our own weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his trouble were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. No! But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten. So we could be whole. Then the next line. He was whipped. Are we reading the same thing? Verse 5. He was what? Whipped. He was what? Whipped. So we could be what? Healed. I want us to read this verse, please. But he was pierced for our rebellion. So you see, our sin is why he suffered. That's what I told you. I said, you can't smite the stone twice. No, he was already pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten now so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Was he whipped? Church, was he whipped? Why was he whipped? So, he said, I provided you the bread of healing. All you need to do is go possess your possession. Upon Mount Zion, there shall be what? Yeah, freedom. You know that deliverance is not the thing you do, fall and rise up. The deliverance is the gospel. It's the gospel preached. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And God determined. If you read Micah 4, 1 and 2, you will see where this prophet gave a picture of the church, that the word of God will go forth from there. His word will be preached there. And people will troop in there and say, let us go, for he will teach us his ways. And Jesus is the way. Why he's talking of deliverance is because Jesus is the truth. Jesus should be preached in the church so that people come to know him and they know the truth and they are free. There shall be holiness, because in that sanctuary, you teach people the way of Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, so that they be led of the Spirit of God in everything they do. They understand the empowerment that God has given them. So now they can't say, I can't stop lying. No, you can't, because you cannot do all things. You should be taught these things in the church. So the Christian will live where God wants him to live. But for today, the bread is available. What did I say? Who has believed our report? Who? And I want to tell you something before I stop now. Do you know that sometimes we go bothering God when we shouldn't bother God? Do you know that the issue of sickness, you the Christian should be talking to the sickness. You should be talking to sickness. Because the Bible says, speak to your mountain. I had Andrew Womack share one testimony that blessed me. He said there was a sister that was sick, and they came to him. Say he spoke to that sickness to leave the sister. And the sister told him the part that he was feeling pain. So he spoke to the pain and said, leave in Jesus' name. And the pain left. And the sister said, but there is one more. So he said, but you didn't tell me that one. So the one remained. He said, okay, now you come and pray. So you see that your prayer will do the same thing. So the girl began to pray, Lord, you said this. And then he said, the thing was still there. I said, when you want to, he said, but Andrew, but the thing is still there. I said, yeah, I should be there. Because what God told you to do, you didn't do it. God said, speak to the mountain. Speak to that sickness. It's a stranger. It shouldn't be there. It's not your position. He said, speak to it in the name of Jesus. Command it to get up. And it will get up. And he said, the girls began to say, he said, you, so. Honey, you remember? You, what did he call that sickness? A burning in the body. He said, you burning in my body. In the name of Jesus. He said, he didn't even go through calling Jesus. The thing left. He left so fast that he stopped. He said, the thing left. He said, yes, now, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. And that's authority God handed you to be able to protect yourself from these invading things that are not part of your position. The Christian must learn to talk. Must learn to talk. You can't keep and be making religion. I say, Lord, oh, that Lord, you know, you are humble servants. Shut up. Speak to your man. Call that thing by name and say, you become a mountain in my life. You are living and you are living now. In the name of Jesus, I don't give you any option to stay. I'll kick you until you get out of my body. That's what I do all the time. And I do it in the car. I yell at them. I shout at them. I kick at them. I yell at them. I say, are you deaf? I say, get out. Praise the Lord. Now it's your turn. Now it's what? Time. To enter into your glory and enjoy what Jesus was flogged for you to have. Can I hear amen? Can we rise?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org. where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.